If you observe wealthy people, successful people who basically live in a state of abundance, you start recognizing patterns and behaviors in different shapes and forms. Most of their patterns are not easy to find, but if you look closely, you can see them occurring on a regular basis. I'm in a stage of my life where everything is new to me. Nobody in my family had ever discussed money or finance or careers, and I don't blame them for it. It's made my life much more interesting because everything is teaching me in ways that I never imagined when I started out. I am 22, and most 22-year-old kids either want validation, attention, or money. I don't seek validation. On mostly I don't seek validation. I enjoy attention, but I really want to explore the entire concept of money and building wealth, and that is what I've been doing for quite a lot of time this year. This entire episode is going to revolve around a few realizations that have genuinely changed the way I see monetary success, and this is me sharing insights and not advice. Therefore, listen to me with an open mind and only pick and choose stuff that is compatible with your own reality and priorities, because there's certainly a lot of debatable stuff coming up. So, without wasting any further time, let's get right into it. This is Ansh Mehra, and you are listening to Episode 18, Season 2 of Take It Easy. It's pretty obvious that not being influenced by money is a huge superpower. But in most cases, when people say no to a specific amount of money, it's usually because the offer is not tempting enough. I see a lot of people melting when the offer goes, say, 20 times more than what they expected. Things can become even more complex if you've grown up without much security. But there's also a flip side to it. I know a lot of people, like senior people, even few people my age, who do not make a lot of money and they suffer at the end of their third week of the month because they know they are not making enough. But somehow they just wouldn't think about increasing their income. They believe in reducing their expenses. They believe in reducing the amount of experiences they can have. But they rarely think about increasing their income, which really surprises me. It's almost like a mental model that is being passed around. Growing up, I made a promise to myself. I told myself that I will never reduce my expenses below a certain point. Instead, I will raise my income. So this doesn't mean that my expenses are linearly proportional to my income. Living a simple life has its perks because when you raise your income but still live a normal life, you get the freedom of saying no to many things. You don't fear losing a job because you have savings. You don't fear buying that specific gadget, or you don't fear traveling because you know that you have some balance left, and so forth. Grant Cardone, who's a very popular influencer and he's a huge personality now, he has some really interesting videos on money. And he says that life is hard with money and almost impossible without money. When you read such quotes, you almost get this sudden charge of energy that says, you gotta make so much money. But the thing is, this charge is temporary. You really need to know what you would do once you get money. In fact, you need to think really big, like think 10 times bigger. And if you don't know what you'll do with that money, you'll just keep on chasing that money, and after a month or so, you'll just get bored of it. Because when you look at the experiences, the impact, the change you can bring to this world when you have accumulated wealth, you're always emotionally invested with that goal. And the motivation to reach that certain amount of wealth is very intrinsic. See, all of our decisions have a ripple effect. Why do I promote creating impact and, thinking big, and why I keep myself motivated, or how do I keep myself motivated, is because I truly remind myself that everything that we do would have a huge, huge ripple effect in the longer run. Like, imagine for a minute, go back in time, think about the first person who thought about language. Think about the first person who thought of chess. Think about the first person who thought about the camera. Then fast forward decades and see these things coming together to inspire a group of highly creative people to make a show series. Then imagine me casually sitting in my room watching that TV series on chess and being really inspired to become awesome in a completely different field and then creating results in that field. Did any of those people who were discovering these amazing things ever realize the kind of ripple effect their actions would have in the next 50 years or maybe the next 100 years? This is exactly why I don't mock any content creators or any creator as a matter of fact, because you don't know what creation of yours would motivate or spark inspiration in someone else, and that someone else might go and do something really, really awesome. Today, because of the internet, you can very easily learn skills and open your own freelance business. We've had an in-depth discussion on this before, so I won't go back again, but there's a subtle caveat here. Whatever technical information you know today will become ordinary in the next 5 years or maybe even quicker. Therefore, never get arrogant about the knowledge you have today or take it for granted or the kind of money you make from that skill set today. Because if you can learn something in 100 days, then anybody can learn it in 100 days. If not 100, then maybe 150. Eventually, you wouldn't need a human to do it. People would just build a bunch of code to do the same job. Therefore, specific technical knowledge, and I'm not talking about specific knowledge as Naval Ravikant says, I'm talking about like specific technical skills that is giving you a lot of money today from your freelance gig, which is easy to learn, is not the scalable way. It's not the route to freedom. People are lazy, that's why they are not learning these skills. You were not lazy, so you learned it very quickly. You maybe had a lot of time on your hands, and that is why you know this skill today. But don't assume this to be scalable or the path to freedom or to path to long-term wealth, because such skills can be taught through videos, and that makes you replaceable. So the key to consistent money, the key to consistent wealth, is supposed to be something that is not easily replaceable and that gives value on a regular basis. Now, I'm not telling you this from a place of stress. You don't have to take stress about this, because all of us are running our own race. You think that everyone around you is ahead or better or smarter, but they're not. I mean, all of us came from different family backgrounds, from different struggles, and we're not even running the same track. I think we're in a different stadium by itself, and all of these people that you think who are really doing well are just pretending super well. I see a lot of people living really extravagant lifestyles as well, and to be honest, it's their choice. I don't judge them for it. But I sometimes wonder if they are living this life at the expense of their dividends or the principal amount itself. I also spend on clothes. I spend a lot now on making the proper impression these days. But I also recognize the limitation behind the strategy of looking successful. Good clothes and smooth communication can only take you up to a specific level. You need different ingredients as you move up the ladder. It's like programming, you know, you need to import different libraries to take your code to the next level. You can obviously make multiple dishes from the same 5 to 6 things, right? But to produce something radically different, you need new ingredients. And this is something that I'm always reminding myself, making sure I add new libraries to my mind, making sure I add new ingredients to my kitchen. There's a lot of popular advice as to start investing early, but I have a completely different take on it. This is what I'm following, to be honest, and you wouldn't know if this worked or not. You know, you'll have to see my track record in the next 10 years to see if my advice actually worked or not, but I'll still share here whatever is making sense to me. Firstly, pay off your loans if you have any. You know, any kind of loan, just pay it off. If you have any kind of EMI, pay it off. Then buy a health insurance. You're super young, the premium is going to be super low. Once these two things are done, check how much are you earning. It's February 2021 right now. And if you're an educated person, and if you're still earning less than 1 lakh rupees a month after giving tax, then you should invest maximum money in your own skill sets and in your own mindset and in your own personality. Buy more books, buy more online courses, because if you're earning 60k a month and instead of raising your income, you are moving towards the conventional financial instruments that give 7% returns, you're playing it too simple. And even if you end up saving 10k a month out of the 60k that you earn every single month, it'll take you 10 months of like a limited life and like a very strict life. And after those 10 months, you'll end up saving 1 lakh rupees. Jiska byaj is just too low. Like, what will you even do with that money? Like, you don't even know what to do with that chunk of amount. I get it that it's security, but the first step that you need to do is invest in yourself, because you are this huge, huge investment. Jiska, you can't break that investment, right? You can dissolve an FD, you can dissolve an RD, you can dissolve so many financial instruments, but what you invest in yourself will give you dividends for the rest of your life. So rather than quickly jumping to saving, figure out a way to become better at what you're doing, because you are young and you have a very fast brain. What my advice is to first reach a basic income level. A good basic income level for a single 22 to 25 year old kid is 1 lakh rupees after giving taxes. Once you reach this level, analyze your money. Don't exceed your living expenses, because you'll be super tempted to do that. Take whatever money you have and pay off your liabilities first. So what are liabilities? They are your rent, your bills, etc. Then invest whatever you earn above 1 lakh rupees or 15% of whatever you earn into a recurring deposit and make it automatic. Like, set the date to that recurring deposit 5 days ahead of your salary date, because sometimes even salary gets delayed by 3 to 4 days and you don't want that recurring deposit to have some sort of disturbance. Then invest in courses that teach you financial wisdom or stock market or mutual funds or real estate. And only after proper education, take the right call about investing. Because that digit, that amount of money that you have logged in, itself won't work. And if you go through the conventional routes, it'll grow very, in a very simple manner. But because we are very young, we can afford to spend time to learn about stuff which is slightly complicated, slightly difficult. And I think everyone knows about this. Like, if you know difficult stuff, if you know complex stuff, and if you're able to recognize patterns in a complex environment, you get paid at a very high multiple. Like, the kind of money that you can make if you're able to recognize patterns in chaotic situations or complex situations is much, much more than the conventional routes. So I think traveling is also investment as well. I think going to meet new people opens up opportunities. It opens your mind to abundance and higher levels of income. And the returns you get in such investments, the returns you get from that 300 rupees ka book, the returns you get by going to that 5-star and just seeing the abundance, which eventually motivates you to think about bigger goals. These kinds of returns, like these intangible returns, are extremely valuable. I mean, this is what I'm gravitating towards, but everyone has their own plan and their own way, because, you know, situations can become really difficult at home. Like, there can be a case where no one is making any kind of income in your household and you're the only person who's making money. So you have to send some amount of money at home, and you can be in a very strict or a very difficult situation. So I know that it's not as simple as I make it sound, but my point is that before you go into that rat race of investing, and just locking your money away, invest in yourself. If you're young, if you're 22, invest in yourself. And, you know, you can keep 5% extra in whatever you want to for that conventional fund, but reach a specific amount of growth in your life. Otherwise, you're just limiting your own mindset and limiting your experiences at a very young age. Because I see a lot of these calculations that say that if you spend 10,000 rupees every month by the age of 65, you'll have, I don't know, some huge, huge amount of money. Dude, I know a lot of people who are like 50, 55 and they have a lot of money and they just don't know what to do with it. They literally don't know what to do with it. So they're just randomly building stuff. Like, they're randomly investing in things, because just collecting money without a good, worthwhile inspirational purpose to use that money is just a bunch of numbers. So don't blindly follow what people say online. Like, don't even follow me, you know. And I tell this to my friends as well, that I don't follow anyone, and sometimes I don't even take my own advice very seriously, because all of us are too young. But again, you have to make sure that whatever decisions that you're making are in line with your own priorities and not someone that is just giving you gyan online. But why am I even telling you all this? It's because we have many different ways of investing in ourselves. When we spend on clothes or partying or social gathering and traveling, we end up exhausting our funds on something that doesn't help us produce cash flow in the longer run. When we invest on online courses, when we invest in a better laptop, when we invest in better training, you know, training our physical body, we end up building assets in ourselves. And this kind of capital expense stays with us in the longer run. My intention is just to introduce you guys to this new perspective of understanding how you spend your money, because I was completely unaware of these things 7 to 8 months ago. You are your own company. You are your own brand. Whatever you spend can either be similar to spending on assets or liabilities. And I know, assets and liabilities in this example are pretty subjective, because a 1 lakh rupee suit might be an asset for person one, but a liability for another. But at least now we know how to be mindful of where we spend and how we spend it. And learn a skill, like side by side, learn a skill that is difficult to replace. Like, people ask me, why design? Why do I do design? Well, because developing is pretty objective. You can actually find two developers who can have the same amount of training in 2-3 months and just quickly create the identical result. Like, you can actually have two developers create identical results, but you can rarely find two designers who would produce the same result. Of course, they can consciously produce the same layouts if they follow a design system, but if you consider the creative aspect, you'd realize that it's very difficult to replace the main designer of a product, because nobody understands the product's design and vibe and true nature better than the person who originally designed it. Obviously, anybody is replaceable, but replacing a designer is relatively difficult. Plus, good enough code would be required by AI in the next 10 years to actually replace design. I mean, there are a lot of no-code applications, but it's still very difficult to have an AI generate proper user experiences for people as of now. I think it'll take some time. A lot of people say, oh, you're so lucky, you're pursuing your passion and you're traveling. But I don't think I really post about the bad stuff that happens in my life. And UX design is not my first passion. I always wanted to be a filmmaker, be a storyteller. But, you know, I'm trying to make the best of what I have. I'm trying to make my own wealth and get out of the messy spot I am with my family. I am motivated at doing something that's not my passion, because I know that once I get out and have my freedom and have enough capital, I would be able to pursue my passion. Therefore, not living my passion, but the pursuit to achieve my passion is really exciting for me. And that's why, to be honest, I'm starting to enjoy stuff that I earlier considered very stressful. Because I don't want my, let's just say, like, my wife to go through what my mother did. Or I don't want to repeat the same mistakes I saw in my family. Or I don't want my kids to experience what I experienced growing up, because that it really messes you up, and that motivation really drives me. So yeah, I mean, apart from this, I think one mindset that has really helped me is to really focus on changing the game and not impressing people. See, the world of communication still respects the person who invented the internet. The travel industry still respects the person who invented the first airplane. The automobile industry will still respect the person who invents the first flying car. You know, we have to aim impressing the game itself, the industry itself, and not the people around us, because people around us will come and go in a span of like 80 to 90 years, and it won't matter if you impressed even lakhs of people. But if you change the game itself, if you truly do something that positively impacts the spiritual nature of the game you play in. That lives on long after even you've left the ground. I don't know, I just feel that this is a much more practical approach to build your drive. Impressing people, winning some stupid competition, you know, to show people that you're better. I mean, what difference would it make in the bigger scheme of things? Nothing. I'm not saying don't win races. Win them. It's fun. It's fun to collect trophies. But making that trophy the center of everything is not exciting enough. Like, think about it. Think about the everlasting impact each one of us can have if we work in harmony. Think about the stuff we can discover in this universe, outside this planet. Think about the scale at which we can do things if all of us truly understood what a blessing it is to be just alive. This is where I believe true wealth is. Providing value that lasts for generations, you know, and not just to impress a bunch of people. And Naval also speaks about this, and he was mentioning this quote, and it said something like, if you play stupid games, you'll win stupid prizes. It's something around that sort, and it makes a lot of sense. But yeah, the funny thing is that the gap between a person who is not making a lot of money or who's not working versus a person who is working really increases with compound interest. Because if there are two kids, both of them are 20 years old, one of them is working, one of them is not working, in the beginning, the gap between them would be linear. But after 10 years, that gap would increase exponentially. When you earn more, you get even more free time to work on yourself. Because your energy is not getting dissipated into random stuff because you're outsourcing things that you don't like. You can buy comfort, you can buy speed, you can buy efficiency, and that gives you even more leeway to earn more. Like, the more money you make, the better credit cards and debit cards and bank accounts and financial advice you get, and it becomes more easier to get more discounts and more offers and more networking. So the more you earn, the easier it gets to earn more. And it's compound interest, as I said. And if you do a fundamental analysis of some of the biggest companies in India, if you go and check their equity share capital, as in the initial promoter funds that were pooled in by the promoters, people who started the company, you'd realize that most successful companies started with a really substantial amount of capital. Like, they had a huge capital when they started out, and now they have even more capital, like much, much more capital than they started with. But it is important to note that they started with good enough capital in their pockets. This is the interesting point. You need some good amount of capital along with wisdom to build more capital. And this is not to demotivate you, but I'm just sharing this to give you a new perspective towards financial education. Just learning your skill set or becoming a good inventor or becoming a good designer might not be the only thing you need to scale. You will need capital, and it could come from your savings, it can come from investors whatsoever. That is a different topic, but acknowledging the value of capital is very crucial. Do not jump into projects and ideas without the required capital in hand. Of course, there's a separate discussion here because you don't really need anything much in life to be happy. We are not talking about happiness right now. We're talking about material success in specific. So if you're not chasing material success, that's also all right, because the purpose of us being here is just being relaxed and chilled out. So as long as you're relaxed and chilled out, you don't need to chase anything. I'm just discussing this for people who are like me and who are just curious about the entire concept of material wealth. If you read and analyze some of the most innovative creators and producers, you'd realize that they really traveled to a lot of places when they were young, or they met a lot of people when they were young that really shaped their beliefs and perceptions. I am 22 right now, and I know how malleable I am. Like, my beliefs change so quickly. I see people who are 42 and I can instantly feel their mental rigidity. I know how important it is to be around things that inspire you for good. And that's why I'm very particular about the places I go to, or I'm very, very particular about the people I meet, or the food I eat, because I know it is shaping me. It is subconsciously shaping me. Everything I consume is shaping me. And a lot of people say, Anj, why do you always want to go to fancy places? Why do you want to do everything so extra? You know, just settle. But they don't get it. If you spend too much time settling, if you spend too much time hanging around mediocre stuff, it'll lead to a mediocre perception. And that will lead to a mediocre result. And again, mediocre is very subjective. But as we've discussed before, the fact that living a good fancy life is actually not as expensive as people think. Because of internet, because of the onset of technology, you can live a very, very good fancy life without spending much money. It's just about awareness. It's about confidence and exploration and the will to see the other side. And of course, all of these things, this a luxurious house, a luxurious life, luxurious dinners, these are all short-term things, and it's a debatable topic, but I'm not saying short-term things are bad, but there's one very special attribute of short-term happiness. They end very soon, and nobody likes an ending. Endings just make us sad. So the more short-term things you indulge in, the more quick endings you experience, and the more quick endings you experience, the less happy you get. Therefore, do things that are real and like concrete and for the long term, and don't try to do things in the short term. It's all about balance, but don't get too much into these short term highs, because these things have a very cunning way of catching up. I've been seeing it in a lot of places. And there's a lot of discussion on what careers to choose, and I don't think I can tell you what's right for you, but I personally love tech. Because you generate a lot of value and you don't necessarily need a lot of initial capital. If you calculate the ratio of initial investment to their retained earnings, you'd see a massive jump, because everyone in tech begins with low capital. But there are fields like construction or machinery that, or even food, that require heavy capital upfront. So money plays a really big role in these industries, but in technology, you can do a lot with very little cash to begin with. You just need a good team to kickstart your project. But don't believe people who say stuff like, you don't need anything to become successful, or you don't need money to become successful. You know, when you're complaining and some people would say, but that guy had nothing and he became a millionaire. Why can't you become a millionaire? Dude, you need some stuff. People who give you such excuses, they probably haven't studied the truly successful people. You need a healthy body. You need awareness. You need to be assured that your 3 meals are taken care of, that your parents are okay. You need some element of charisma as well. You need sufficient capital to keep things afloat. But yeah, there are some ingredients that you need to be successful. And the best thing that we can do is make the best of what we have, like learn resourcefulness. And we've discussed this in previous episodes as well. We've also discussed before how the best thing you can do to look more attractive is to build real courage on the inside. Because when you're growing, when you are trying to make money, you have to convince other people that you deserve that money. But you will not get paid unless you have that charismatic element to your personality. And that is, you know, the first step towards that charisma or that attractiveness or that powerfulness, is to grow strength mentally and then eventually focus on your physical strength as well, like your physical body. Because if you look good because of your clothes or your haircut or all the products you use, a day will come when life would just punch you in the face and you wouldn't have the energy to use all that cream or buy that fancy jacket. You might not have all the money to buy everything that was earlier making you look so attractive. And you wouldn't be able to recognize yourself in the mirror. Therefore, focus on building yourself, like your own personality, the way you speak, the way you think, the way you handle difficult situations, your own confidence, your own speech, your own internal health. Stuff that sticks with you, right? Stuff that is a part of your body. Stuff that is a part of your neurochemistry. Because this is the kind of stuff they can't snatch away from you. When we build ourselves, we lose the fear of not having clothes or fancy cars or fancy houses, because we know that we are playing a game and we are winning it on our own credibility, and not because I have a specific privilege or a specific amount of money in hand. I have lived a life without these things and I am happy. So I know that I don't have the fear of losing these things. So you should try to inculcate that kind of attitude in life, because I see a lot of people just panicking at the first sight of losing things, and that will just freeze you up. So yeah, I guess these are some things that I've been keeping in my mind while I explore this journey of building my own wealth. Let's see how things work out. You know, you guys are listening to me for the past, I don't know, 1 or 1.5 years, and you've just seen my journey. So yeah, I hope some of my realizations sparked some inspiration for you as well. And it's time I go take some rest. It's been half an hour. I'll come back super soon, around next month, with my next episode. If you share this episode on Instagram, don't forget to tag me on @anshmehra.png. I feel so, so happy every time I see a good review. Hope you have an amazing life ahead. This was Ansh Mehra, and you were listening to episode 18, season 2 of Take It Easy.